completely original film. It does not have some guidelines in terms of which versions of the character it has went with.
Yeah, I mean, we're loosely basing it on certain arcs, you know, from the comics. So if what's in the books works well with the continuity that we've established, then I'll use elements from that arc. But, you know, because we're doing a series of films, we've established the look of a lot of the characters at this point. So it's really about figuring out, if we're introducing new characters, how to take the inspiration from the comics and make it fit with the world we've already created.
Which character was most like tedious to design? The character,
this
like
time,
armor, or
this time it was Heretic, because usually, you know, when you're looking at the source material, you know, you consider like the looks that the characters had in the past, you consider the power set, you consider the context of the story, and their name a lot of times, you know what I mean? Like Black Manta, you know, you already get an image. But with Heretic, that's, you know, there's a lot of way that name conjures up certain types of imagery. The look in the comics didn't feel like it was... It fit necessarily in the story that we were trying to tell, and it wasn't like, it didn't feel like a really striking visual that really made sense. Like, oh, I see why they call him Heretic, you know.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really feeling that look per se, and I know James wasn't feeling it either. So there was a lot of back and forth figuring out what he should look like in our film. And yeah, so when it's not obvious from the outset, when there isn't like, well, obviously, you know, what Batwoman, the way we drew her, that's how she looks in the comics. You know, it's like, if it ain't broke, you know what I mean? We add our little flourishes that are either contextual or stylistic, but characters like that are straightforward. Other characters, not so much.
Does making it an original story, like, does that let you bring in characters that you haven't had a chance to bring in yet?
In theory, yeah. So far, we haven't really gotten to... I guess with this one feels like it's equal parts adapting arcs from the comics and adding our own flavor, but we're still sticking to stories that are arcs that have been introduced to some degree. But yeah, if we have enough latitude with what we're doing to that we can bring in characters that might not have necessarily been in a specific arc and stuff like that. But yeah, in theory, we will be able to just sort of play with most of the DCU if it's contextually appropriate for what we're doing.
With this project, you're finally kind of introducing Batwoman to the Batman universe. Were there any particular edits kind of handed down given, you know, LGB status and how Batwoman should be portrayed or presented?
I don't think we were given anything specific about that. You know, it's like it's a part of her character, but it wasn't something that, you know, was like, here are the rules, here are the do's and don'ts. I feel like we had a lot of latitude to just tell the story that we wanted to tell, and of course, everybody's, if you're getting that intimate with a character, their personal history and their personal, you know, their background is going to affect, you know, like the way you depict them, the way you portray them. But there was nothing like that we were consciously told to avoid or steer towards. I mean, at least as far as I know, James and Jay might have gotten some different direction, but I feel like it's all about the story. So as long as it works within the context of what we're trying to create.
You mentioned going back to the comics to like research upon like their looks and like it's not broke, don't fix it. Did you have to like maybe research anything else when going for the design, like carbon fibers or like materials?
Oh man,
for
yeah.
Aesthetic.
You know, like I wish I was that thorough. I try to you know, think of things that like make some practical sense. There are guys that are way better at than me, you know what I mean?
Don't tell my boss.
They know. I'm not fooling anybody. But you know, like with that stuff, it's like about what looks like it could be somewhat practical, but again, we're working in a very fantastic universe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's a lot of fantasy elements, you know. You gotta make Batwing's suit look like it's like, you know, high-tech military, you know, something, you know, futuristic stuff, but you're allowed to, you know, have fun with it. And, you know, I don't know how his rocket boots work. We come up with something that looks like it makes sense, you know, and then we don't labor over that too much. We just want things to feel right, you know. And as a designer, I have a limited tool set that I can work with anyway. You know, it's like to create the look of to create textures, you don't really have that many things to play with. You know, you got your line, you got your color, you got shadow, and you got highlights. You know, the intensity of the highlights can describe the texture of a material. Like a really intense highlight will describe metal. And a really like sort of subdued one might describe leather. You know what I mean? So because it's hand drawn animation, there's only so much stuff you can get in there. You know, I'd love to put a honeycomb pattern on the like neoprene, you know, underneath the armor, but nobody can draw that. You know what I mean? I would probably find it online and just Photoshop it. Animators, go. You know, but so yeah, it's a limited tool set.
Cool.
Before I forget,
sorry, man. I'm from L.A.
We're going to take you down. What was your favorite character in the side besides, you said content wasn't the easiest. What was your most favorite?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
What was your most favorite?
My favorite design to do on this project?
Yeah. And overall.
This one, I don't know if that's a spoiler. So I don't know if I can say it. The Rogues Gallery in this is off the hook. We got to introduce characters that, you know, I haven't drawn before, which is getting harder and harder. And it was a lot of fun. Like, the first draft of the script didn't have these characters in it, so it's like, it's a special treat. Nobody's going to know that but you guys. But, yeah, we just felt like we needed to add a lot of like really fun like villains to go up against, which is a great Batman tradition. You know what I mean? So I had a lot of fun doing like Firefly, Killer Moth, and Onyx, which is not a very well known character, but it was actually co-created by a good buddy of mine, so that was cool. So Jerome Moore, actually, when he was a young comic book artist, was a co-creator of Onyx. So it was really
she's a villain?
She's a villain now. I mean they made her a villain in the comics at some point, so she's basically like a stealthy assassin. Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing that. Overall, it's really hard to pick. Maybe the Wonder Woman.
Last question. Being that you have drawn so many over the years, is there a small group of really obscure characters that you'd love to get into one of the animated movies that are coming up, or somebody that you've just been dying to get your hands on redesign?
Yeah, you know what's funny? I always say that I would love to. I got an idea for the Fourth World characters, like the New Gods. It's basically Kirby's like DC Space Odyssey. Yeah. There's so many places to go with that. I designed them once for Young Justice, and I feel like there's so much to explore there. But they would be a pick. I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to do that, but I'd love to get a crack at it. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. You know, there was a rumor in the 90s, that Otomo was going to do the Fourth World stuff.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Never heard that one. That would be incredible.
Yeah.
Jay will do that.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Batman Game of Death?
Thank you.
Have a good Batman Game of Death yet?
Not yet. I keep pushing it, but they never give it to me. So someday it's going to be Batman Game of Death, and I'll adapt Arkham Asylum, a serious place on serious Earth. I'll do that, but Game of Death style. Someday. All I do is I don't really know what I'm going to be doing until they assign it to me. So. Okay, so who wants to go first?
That was my joke. You're right. The serious one is normally, I know in the past you've said that there are movies that like inspire you or that are sort of, you know, what you're going for. So like Assault on Arkham was sort of your Guy Ritchie movie.
Yes.
What's the inspiration for this one?
Oh, geez. I believe for this one, I know I had this. You gotta remember, I do these films, it's like a year has passed already. So I'm already on the next two films. I've already finished the last two films. Let me think, what did I do for this one? Well, this one was more along the lines of The Raid
yes.
Redemption.
Yeah, yeah.
So my fight choreography and action on this, I just wanted to really top what I loved from those films. There's a sequence in here that there's also a little my love letter to like 80s like action flicks. There's a sequence with Nightwing and Damian, an action sequence that I try to make it like feel like an 80s film. So there's lots of different things in this one. This one is kind of unique in a sense that there's a lot of things going on because you have the Bat Family, you have this kind of mystery of what happened to Batman, all kind of, you know, competing with each other, and then having the action to kind of bridge all of the kind of informational parts of the film. So it's fun. I think this is probably my most complicated fight that I've ever done, action choreography in all my, and that's probably the most action I've ever done. So it's some fun stuff.
Well, with the fight choreography, talk a little bit about what you guys do to make sure that all of the different Bat characters fight a little bit differently, because they're all trained differently, obviously.
I mean, I learned this trick when I was doing He-Man and the Masters of the Universe back in 2002, was that I had to figure out kind of a spreadsheet of everybody's powers, you know, like who's powerful than who can, you know, trump another person. It's kind of like Street Fighter, the video game, you know, like, you know, if I'm Ryu and I'm fighting against Ken, even though they have the same powers, how do I differentiate the two? So the same thing with this, is that I tried to figure out, okay, Damian and Nightwing, even though they're trained by Bruce Wayne, how do they fight differently? How does Nightwing fight differently than Batman? And also, how does Batwing fit into that? And the nice thing is that both Batwing and Batwoman are very different. Batwoman has a more military background, so a lot of her fighting techniques are like Krav Maga, it's like Marine martial arts, a lot of things that are more militaristic, whereas, you know, Batman, he's learned everything, so I can mix it up from jiu-jitsu to taekwondo to, you know, Muay Thai kickboxing to, and then like, for example, Nightwing, I do Kali Eskrima, the Filipino martial arts, because I'm Filipino, and I try to put that in everything I do. So I try to do that with everything, and I like it because, you know, for the fans who are, you know, who know about martial arts and know about that stuff, they appreciate the authenticity, as opposed to, like, you know, some directors are just like, it's a punch is a punch. I'm like, no. There's a different intention to it. Same thing with my weapons. If you notice, their weapons are all very, I like to really make sure that, you know, like Thomas Wayne in Flashpoint is using a 1911 because that's the gun that murdered, you know, his wife and his son. I used, you know, like I think in this one, I think Batwoman's got Berettas, you know. So I try to fit it to the characters' personalities. You might not get it, but for myself, I like that kind of authenticity in my films.
Batwing's a boxer then too?
Oh yeah. And you'll see.
What kind of Beretta?
You'll see. Oh, jeez. What did I have to do? I have to get back to you.
F, I think.
Yes. So I try to fit that as much as I can. It's a good question, by the way. I wasn't even expecting that. Any others? Who wants to go next? Come on, guys.
How big of a role does Lucius Fox play?
Lucius is great, because this is the first time we're introducing him in this universe.
Yeah.
So he's played by Ernie Hudson,
yes.
Which I love.
Yes.
He's great. You know, I mean, and he plays a pretty good role. I mean, he is... We kind of hint at that he's been around this whole time, but we just never really kind of seen him. And it's only when Luke, his son, kind of comes back from Afghanistan that he has kind of suspicions that Lucius has been working with Batman, but he doesn't know, and he's asking his dad, come on, dad, let me in on the secret. And Lucius is like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, hey, let's go out to lunch. And he's like, come on, dad. And so it kind of leads to his kind of involvement into the story, because once Batman disappears, you know, and events happen, he gets pulled into this overall kind of big story. So it's fun. It's great. Lucius and also Batwoman, Yvonne Strahovski's in this. And it's great having these new kind of characters that we haven't seen before in the animated universe, you know? Yes, anybody?
where does this fall into the continuity of the Batman and Robin stories? Because at the end of Batman versus Robin, Robin leaves.
Yes.
And now he's coming back for this. So.
So this takes place right after. I think it's probably like 3 to 6 months later. Because when news gets out that Batman's missing, Damian hears about it in the monastery, and then that's what prompts him to come back to Gotham, because he's there trying to learn to be a better person, and on YouTube or something, he sees that there's an article about like where's Batman, so you'll see it all fits in.
Now that there's like continuity, like how is the characters, you think, how they evolved since like the first movie that had a continuity?
You'll see. I mean, the nice thing by us doing these films that I think the public by and large are finally getting is that we're doing serialized movies just like Marvel's been doing with their live action, right? But we're just doing animated, and we're getting them out pretty quick, you know. So what we started in Justice League War is, and then Son of Batman is really the first Batman story of this. It continues Batman vs. Robin. It goes here, and then we have continuing stories that go on. So all of the ones from War forward are pretty much in the same continuity, except for like one-offs that, like, you know, Gods and Monsters, Killing Joke. Those are all one-offs. That's not in our universe at all.
Two things.
Yes.
One, I appreciate the viciousness and brutality of the action of the movies that you've done. And you mentioned earlier there were two projects. What are the two projects that are coming up?
I can't say. You got to come to Comic-Con, because then we'll announce our next one. But we have Justice League vs. Titans that we've announced. So that's the next one, I think, after this one. And then after that is Killing Joke, which we're premiering at Comic-Con. So, and then at Comic-Con, we'll announce our next league. So I'm already two films beyond this one. So I did this all last year, you know.
We found out trying for a more lighthearted tone and a little break.
Yeah, I mean, so these films, everybody's asked about like the amount of violence in it.
I love it personally.
But see, the thing is, I tell people this is that, you know, if you want the lighter stuff, we've got that. You know, we've got like DC Girls, we've got Young Justice, the things that are a little bit more that fit the palette of a broader audience. You know, for these films, you know, I've been working in TV for 20 years now, and I've had to deal with, you know, basic standards and practices. I couldn't do punches to the face. I couldn't do a lot of things. But now that I'm doing these films now, I get to do films that I want to see. You know, like when I was a kid, I wanted to see Batman do kung fu and all this kind of stuff. And now that I'm a director, I'm like, I'm gonna have as much fun as I can. You know, because you want to see that.
Something on the lighthearted tone, and that would be great with the Batman you want.
Oh yeah, that would be great too. I mean,
and that was on the table.
Yeah, if these movies sell well, then it'll kind of motivate them to greenlight, you know, all different kinds of films. You know, like, for example, like we have Batman Lego, we've got, you know, all these different, you know, Justice League Gods and Monsters. You know, wasn't as hard of a PG-13 as my films that I usually do. It's great, you know, and Justice League Action coming up, that's a more kind of broader audience. So what's nice about, even with the live-action films, like Zack's films, those are meant for the 35 or 39-year-old me. They're not meant for me when I was watching Super Friends, you know? And I like that, because, hell, if I want to see Super Friends, I can watch Super Friends, you know, but like I want to see, you know, Dark Knight Returns, you know, Batman versus Superman. I want to see that. I want to see, you know, things that I haven't seen before. You know, I mean, and that's what I think. We live in a great time because we've got a Suicide Squad coming out. Like, how exciting is that? You know, like, I would never thought I would see a Suicide Squad movie. You know?
With a great cast.
Yeah, with a great cast. You know, and with, you know, with the kind of, you know, sensitivity and budget that a movie like that deserves. Right. You know?
What can you say about Batman through his family, with Batman removed from the picture, that you can't say directly?
Oh, well, I mean, it's a very dysfunctional family. but the nice thing, like what James will say, is that by doing a Bat Family film, you kind of show how this one man has influenced this whole, all these people's lives, and even, you know, the city, and even the universe of the DC universe. So by taking him out of the equation, it leaves this vacuum, and then trying to kind of answer the question, like, who would fill in the shoes of Batman if Batman wasn't there? And answering the question, like, is is Dick ready? Is Damian ready? Is any of these other characters, can they come up and fill his shoes? And of course the answer is no. You know, and they all need Batman, but it's in, but that's why I like this film. I mean, all of our films, we try to do something different. And Batman versus Robin, for example, we kind of looked at the Batman as a father, which we haven't really seen before, you know, and we approached it from that end. So now we see it from, we shoot it from, you know, Dick's point of view and from Damian's point of view of, like, when your father's gone, are you ready to take on the mantle? Can you continue on what he started in his legacy? And that's what this film kind of answers, you know.
We're talking about Dick and Damian being without Bruce.
Yes.
I know Tim had a hard time with that.
Oh yeah.
So is that, are we gonna see some of that in the movie at all?
Oh, with,
because I noticed he's not on the banner at all.
Who is?
Tim.
Tim Drake?
Yeah.
Oh, Tim Drake hasn't been introduced in this universe. So Tim, yeah, remember, in this universe, forget about everything you've seen before. Like, there is no Tim Drake yet, you know. Right now, it's just been Dick Grayson and Damian. So Damian is the second Robin.
Wow.
So eventually, we'd love to introduce Tim in the equation. You know, hell, we...
Jason Todd.
And Jason Todd. So there's... But you remember, we're starting from ground up, zero, and moving on forward. So right now, it leaves it open. Like, we can reintroduce Tim in a new, kind of interesting way that's different than the comics. But we'll stay true to it. We'll try to stick to the way that how he was in the comics, how his first introduction is, but in this universe now.
This is all New 52, but Under the Red Hood was before this.
Oh yeah, Under the Red Hood is its own continuity. Yeah, all of the films prior to Justice League War were its own continuity.
Flashpoint, right?
Flashpoint was the one that kind of bridged. So Flashpoint is kind of in our continuity, but it's
like
a little
bit
different.
Like it did in the comics.
Yes. Uh-huh. But the nice thing, though, is that even though this is New 52, we don't follow New 52. It's just our way of kind of reviving this kind of DCU and look at it from a different kind of point of view. So it's fun, you know, because Bruce's stuff is great.
Really good.
We good?
You're going there.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jay.
Thank you. Okay, where'd you start, Jay?
I'll go that way. I was just there.
Warm him up for me?
Hello?
Hi. Howdy. Howdy. Hello.
Tim does not suck. Tim does not suck.
Who's first? You? Somebody speak.
A couple of people that haven't gone at all, so I'm scared. All
right. Howdy.
So, Jay was just telling us a little bit about the general idea of doing a Bat Family film.
Right.
And I asked him, and I'll ask you as well, what is it that you can say about Batman by looking through those lenses that you can't say about him just looking at him directly?
Well, like most friendships, you have a group of friends, and there's a central person. All the friends see that person differently. They see different aspects, and that they're friends with that person because of different reasons. They're not all friends with them for the same reason. So in this movie, when Batman, who's the central spoke in the wheel, disappears, all these people have to deal with each other without him as the filter. And so, you know, they each have a different relationship to him. You know, Nightwing's relationship with Batman's a lot more complicated than Damian's relationship with Batman. I mean, Damian just sees him as his dad and as someone who he hopefully takes over from, you know, whereas Nightwing doesn't want anything to do with taking over as Batman. Batwoman just wants to be her own person, but she's tied to him in a way because he's tied to her origin by he saved her life. So she feels in a way she owes him, but she's pissed off about it. So they all have different relationships with him that they don't normally cross paths with each other except when he's there. So this movie's about what happens when that guy's gone and you have to deal with each other.
With Bruce gone, does it also change the dynamic with Alfred and dealing with his wards? And
yeah, I mean, Alfred's like the dad or the... more like the wise uncle, I guess.
I just feel that sometimes he gets like overlooked or passed over and his role is minimalized instead of, like, he has a very, very strong, important role.
Well, he's definitely holding it together in this story. I mean, he has a lot to do in this story, and he's he's the voice of reason. He's also the slap upside the head when people are losing focus. He definitely fits into the when the concept of the idea of the movie is Batman Family, and that was actually the original title, but we didn't think soccer moms would buy that, so or their sons of soccer moms wouldn't want Batman Family. But anyway, he's there as trying to hold it down, trying to keep it all together, like he always does. But I mean, the movie itself really is about family. It's about different ways there can be family when even there's no blood relation. So I think of the Batman movies we've done, it's probably got the most heart, for lack of a better word. So I thought it turned out well.
In building this universe, this cohesive universe for your animated movies, obviously Batman's gotten a big focus, and almost every other. What is it about him that you feel like you can build a universe on like that?
Well, Batman's the guy everyone knows. I mean, he's kind of like what Spider-Man is to Marvel. Everyone knows Spider-Man. Everyone thinks they know Spider-Man. And same as with Batman. And so he's the gateway figure that all these other characters can be introduced through. It's like, so you know this guy. And he's real popular. And he knows everyone in the room. But you don't know anyone in the room. You're going to go with that guy and have him introduce you to everyone. That's Batman. He's the guy at the party who knows everybody. And you know, for good or ill, Superman's not that guy. Superman's the guy who stands in the corner like this and everyone's lining up to meet him. He's not the guy that knows everyone. So anyway, at least that's our take on it, because it's you know, you kind of need someone like Batman because he's a touchstone. He's human. He's like Spider-Man in a way, because Spider-Man has superpowers, but he's a touchstone. He's a regular guy. He's still kind of human. So
the oddest take on it I think I've ever heard.
It makes sense.
I just made it up.
No, it doesn't. That's what Brave
and the Bold. Well, I mean, when we were doing Brave and the Bold, that was my conceit behind that, was that you can't just say this is the wannabeast. You need somebody sane to put him in perspective. You need a Batman to say, oh, that's the wannabeast over there. He's pretty cool. Smells funny, but he's cool. You know, that kind of thing. Like, he's the guy that, in the Brave and the Bold comic did that, back in the day. It was like, what weird character can you put in this world? If he's cool with Batman, he's a cool character. You know, he's like, it's that. Some people, you know, some characters just don't pop by themselves. You need a context. And Batman is, for DC, Batman is the context for all these other characters. So.
But they've said that assignments before you think of them. Have you thought about where this point off of you? Have you thought about that yet? Or will you sit there when they finally say, in the next film?
Oh, how far ahead have I thought that?
Yeah.
Well, we're on, this is 2016 release. We're figuring out 2018. We're working on 2017. So we're about a year. Thinking we're 2 years ahead. Producing we're a year ahead of this. So that's kind of how it works. So I can't talk about any of that stuff.
Oh, come on.
It's cool. I don't know. That's it.
Can you talk about alternative things like Gods and Monsters or any other kind
of... I didn't work on it, but I can talk about it. It's cool.
Well, just, I mean, like, you know, are there more... how much do you guys talk about sort of jumping around doing other projects outside, like Batman and Justice League?
Well, I boarded on the shorts. I worked on them with, Bruce Timm, if he says... Can you help me out? I go, sure. But as far as beyond what you guys know now, I don't know much. Yeah. I know there's, they want to do more. So I just don't know. I don't, you know, that's not my deal, so. I have to worry about my shit.
You mentioned those strange characters that sometimes can't stand on their own. Any that we're going to be seeing in Bad Blood, or anyone that you think of in that manner that we'll be seeing in Bad Blood?
Strange characters. There are some of the villains will be characters who either haven't been seen in a while or haven't been imagined the way they are in that. One or two very obscure ones. You know, Batwoman and Batwing have never been in animation, so... you know, like I always said coming into this, is I always wanted to make sure at least every movie had one character who hadn't been in animation before. So, and this one I have two, so that's good. Well, three actually, but I can't talk about the other one.
So,
and going forward, definitely, I mean, we've already announced Justice League versus Teen Titans. So there's going to be a whole, you know, there's, the world is growing slowly. It takes a while. You know, like I said, we were working like 2 years ahead, so I know what's coming, and it's cool. So, but it takes time to get to this, you know. I mean, I had to get through some other stuff earlier to get to this point and build the world, so.
I know that in the older series, a lot of them tied into each other, and I know that from War, that the newer stuff... kind of it's all one world that's being set up. How far ahead do you guys are you guys planning to take this? I mean, you guys are introducing two new characters in this series,
right?
Justice League versus Teen Titans is going to bring the Teen Titans into the new world,
right?
Are these characters going to get their own series, maybe? I mean, I don't know.
That's my goal, is that you know, when I took over, they pretty much said, look, Batman and Justice League sell. That's what we're going to do. And I was like, really? Okay. I've only been doing that for 15 years. But so I said, well, then if I got to do that, each time I do that, I want to introduce at least one new character within those worlds. You know, Damian was our first for Batman. The Owls were in the second movie. You know, so I'm trying to pull in more current stuff from the comics into what we're doing now, so that there's not this big gulf between what's in the comics and what's on the screen. Because in the old days, you know, they'd do something on BTAS that was in the comics 20 years before that or something. You know what I mean? Trying mm-hmm. to make what you're reading in the comics happen on the screen sooner was the goal. And so, as we build the world, we build on top of that, and everyone we've introduced comes back at a different point in a different context later in another story. So that's the goal. And as long as they let us do it, as long as they sell, I guess they'll let us keep doing them. There's nothing I can't plan for that, but I think I answered that.
Being that you're also dealing with a lot of characters that have been around for decades, does it become daunting to keep them fresh and new for the fans, or?
Not for me personally. It's daunting to explain to people who don't know them how to keep them fresh. Meaning, to explain to a writer, why is Batwoman cool? If they don't, you know, someone who doesn't know Batwoman thinks, oh, it's just Batgirl, older.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't know the nuances of a character. You know, they just think, oh, you know, Batwing, cyborg with bat ears. I'm like, no. You know, so that's always been my issue with, even on Brave and the Bold, was how do you describe Bawana Beast to someone who doesn't understand why he's cool, or Metamorpho, or, you know, basically most of DC's characters are kind of freaking weird. So, you know, we know why they're cool. And the you know, my goal is, and my job has always been, how do you explain this to someone who's not familiar with them, but yet they're the person that has to write them or depict them or direct them or bring them to life. So, it's only daunting. I mean, it gets more daunting as we have less things to adapt. Or we, you know, it's like they're more prone to adapt something than to come up with something fresh. And I want to do more fresh stuff, so
okay.
I'm getting tapped.
Awesome.
All right, thank you.
Hey guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Kurt. Oh.
How's it feel to be Batman?
It always feels good.
Good.
It always feels good. It never gets old. I mean, this is my fifth outing, and just been told I can say that I'm going to reprise the role of Batman in Justice League versus Teen Titans, which will be the next title, I think, after this one. For me, anyway. So, super excited. And super excited they keep asking me back. The fools.
Because Batman's gone, he's disappeared throughout the... We're still going to see scenes of him in the scene?
Yeah.
He's still going to be a major influence in the book?
In a way, I think his absence is more dramatic than his presence, because we're not used to him not being around. I mean, I personally got a taste of that when I did Justice League Throne of Atlantis, because he was more of a peripheral character in that. But obviously, you know, his name's in the title here, so it's a little disturbing that he's not around. I mean, story-wise, they have to convince Gotham City that Batman is still alive and well, so people are going to have to pretend to be Batman, which is, again, kind of disconcerting for the audience and for the world, the Batman world. We got to find out what's really happening to Bruce, where he is, and what's going on there. And that gives lots of opportunities to explore. When Bruce isn't out there kicking ass and being physical, and he's in his head, that's not a very happy place to be. Yeah. But it's certainly fun for us as an audience to see what's going on in there. Certainly for me as an actor, that's kind of where it's at. So, yeah, the director, writer, and producer have found cool new ways to deal with that old story about what's going on with Bruce Wayne.
Has being Batman become a lot easier than it was maybe the first couple of hours for you?
Yeah, I think possibly because there was more pressure initially, so I was more concentrated on not messing it up. Rather than now, I feel like I've had a little bit of experience doing it, and I feel like I can enjoy it more. And when you enjoy it more as an actor, chances are you're finding more subtleties, more nuances, and you have an opportunity to be more grounded and in truth and more real. So, yeah, I certainly feel like it's developing in a good way. I think that's part of the process. I think that's normal for an actor. I think if you see, even in a TV show, like, I don't know, like Seinfeld, like you watch the first season of Seinfeld versus the last, and they're like two completely different shows. And I think that development is sort of a natural part of the process. And so I'm allowing myself to be open to that and let it happen. I think it's very gradual. Like, I don't think you'd notice it if you watched every film sort of back to back, but if you watch maybe Justice League War versus Batman Bad Blood, you might notice differences
between that time.
Yeah, and I think in a good way. You know, it's getting better.
We had a 1 minute punishment from past Batman voice actors.
Ask me that again.
Have you had any 1 minute punishment from the past Batman?
Not really. I met Kevin Conroy briefly. He was coming out of a session when I was going in, and he was introduced as, you know, this is Jason, he's going to be playing Batman, and he started choking me. He literally was like obviously he was doing it as fun, but no, he didn't offer any words of encouragement. I think you know, from one actor to another, you have to kind of just trust that it's going to be found, you know, that you're going to find it. And I think it's important to allow that actor to make the mistakes and make those discoveries for themselves. And the more they do that, the more they're able to own it. And you know, talking about developing the voice, I think there's more of a sense of ownership now that I feel like I'm doing something that's unique to me and a little less influenced by other incarnations of the character as we go along. But I haven't really met don't think I've ever met any other actor who's played Batman other than Kevin Conroy that one time. Who almost killed me.
Hypothetical. So you're Batman patrolling Gotham in the Batmobile. What song are you listening to? What song is Batman pumping right now in the disc changer?
Bad Blood by Taylor.
Yes! Done.
Mic drop. I can't believe you made me say it.
I feel like it had to be said. It's the name of the...
Do you want to meet the band?
Someone had to say it.
The original band? Did the song?
What, Taylor Swift?
No. Or Taylor Swift.
Sure. I think I have met her. She's very nice.
What do the folks back home think of your role in Batman? Like, are they excited about that?
Do you know, not a lot of people back home know that I'm Batman, or haven't made the link, really. I told Dublin Comic Con, hey guys, like, if you want me to come to Comic Con, just let me know. And they were like, oh, no. Whenever we ask Irish people to come back to Dublin to do Comic Con, they never come. And I'm like, well, you don't ask. They even tweeted them, like, invite me. There's no point because you won't come. So I shouldn't be saying that on the record, but I would like to go there at some point and go, hey guys, I'm one of your own, and I'm Batman, and that's cool. I mean, I think it's cool.
What county are you from?
I'm from County Dublin. Yeah, yeah.
In north or south of Dublin?
South. Excuse me. South. No. That's a long-running north and south feud in Ireland.
That's an understatement.
Well-intentioned.
Yeah.
In Dublin. Yeah. Yeah, no, I come from a nice town called Sandy Cove, South Dublin.
What do you think sets your Batman apart from like other fiction that we've seen over the years?
Do you know, I don't know the answer to that, and I think only the fans can really figure that out for themselves. You know, because I'm aware that there are some fans out there that love what I'm doing, and there's some that don't. So, I mean, I obviously, you know, I'm getting happier and happier with it as I go along. So, I kind of have to focus just on the process of making it the best I can, rather than getting distracted with comparing it to others or what other people think. Because you could get so caught up in that you just, you know, you wouldn't be able to get on with your job. And that's also, honestly, that's also my approach as an actor in live action as well. You just have to get on with the job and not really, you can't really care too much about what people think, or, you know, you can't do it.
Many see Batman as, like, if you're doing the voice of Batman, you're like, that's like the top, one of the top characters. Would there be another character you would choose to do that wasn't Batman? Or
in the animated stuff?
Yes.
I'd love to play a villain. I love playing villains. I'd love to play Joker, but maybe Riddler. I like the classic villains, the old school villains. Yeah, I love them.
Bad guys.
And I love playing character roles as well. Like, you know, I'm not complaining that I get cast as like the leading man or whatever. That's great. I love that. But I really like to kind of let my hair down and play character roles and mess with my voice and appearance and stuff.
Do you have
like
any
that.
Ideal character roles you're looking to do or would like to do?
Well, I played George Washington last year. That was great. You know. So I'd love to do stuff like that. But yeah, I think you know, I played a lot of good guys, so I'm looking to play some bad guys. So we'll see. I mean,
let's get bad guys out of the way.
Yeah. I also like wearing like prosthetics and stuff like that. Like, I love kind of completely changing my appearance. It's just you don't get that opportunity very much. So I'm always looking for chances like that.
How much interaction do you have with the other actors on this? Do you record your lines?
Virtually nothing. Virtually nothing. I had some interaction with Stuart Allen on the last couple of movies, only because our sessions overlapped. I haven't met anyone else. I've met Sean Marr, plays Nightwing at the last couple of cons for Batman vs. Robin. I've met Stuart Allen a couple of times because his lovely family and he and my son like hang out together sometimes. But other than that, I haven't met anyone else in the cast. I mean, obviously Gaius is here today. Yeah. But other than that, I haven't met anyone else in the cast, so it's kind of weird. I mean, you're in a bubble. But, you know, you get this opportunity halfway through where you come back for ADR, and there's already a lot animated and all the other voices are laid down. So you do get to hear, before the film is completed, what the other actors have done. And that really helps in terms of any changes you want to make or whatever. So it's kind of a cool part of the process.
Come with me.
One last question.
Okay, one last question.
Or else it's just rude, Gary.
One last question.
Is there a live-action superhero outside of the Batman universe, but not Batman, that you would like to play?
Obviously, it has to be DC, because then I'll be fired if I'm
not. All right.
I don't know.
Do you have a favorite? Somebody that you're intrigued by because of the nature of his character?
Again, I think it would be something kind of twisted and dark, you know. Because I think that's what draws me to Batman, because he's already kind of twisted and dark, even though you know. But he's a vigilante. I mean, he's not really supposed to be doing what he's doing. So I like that. I like that idea. So it would be some version of that, you know. Villainous version of that.
Well, let me get a quick picture of you before you go. And great, thank you.
Cool, thanks guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for your great questions.